This evening on Mardi Radio, we're going to start a new series, and it's called the Inspiring Mardi series. This is where I get to sit down with some of this country's best, most well-known individuals, people who have played a significant role in Te Ao Māori over the last couple of decades, the last couple of years. Not just those people, but also everyday Māori out there in the community who are doing really good stuff, but often don't get recognised. And of course, the very first person I wanted to sit down and have a conversation with is, of course, Dame Nada Glavish. Now, for you all out there who don't know Nada, you must be living under a rock, because let me just read some amazing backstory here. Nada is, a New Zealand former politician, Māori community leader from Ngāti Whātua Iwi, and from 2013 to 2016, of course, she was president of the Māori Party, Te Pāti Māori. Affiliated to Ngāti Whātua and also of Croatian descent, there is a big story there. Her Croatian grandparents arrived in New Zealand and Aotearoa in the 20th century, settling near Kaipara Harbour and changing the spelling of their name from the original Glavis. And if I didn't get that right, I'm sure she's going to correct me. Their Frank's son is Nada's father. Her mother is also in the mix, of course. Before the Māori language revival of the 1980s, it was common for children with Māori first names to be called their anglicised name instead, hence Nada. When Glavish was 12, she was placed into state care. Another story here, whānau, after admitting to stealing clothes from a washing line. But in a 2015 interview, she said it was actually a cousin who did that. It wasn't me. And she wasn't, though, returned to her whānau until she was around 16. At 17, she married, had six children. Eventually, you know, she went on from that gig. And in 1975, went back to work as a telephone operator for the New Zealand Post Office. And the rest is history. With some simple words, some simple Māori words, kia ora, the legend was born. And her name, of course, is Dame Nada Glavish. She joins me on the line. Nada, welcome.
Kia ora. And it's my pleasure and my privilege to be here speaking with you tonight.
You know, you've had a very inspiring career and inspiring life. It's nowhere near over yet, obviously. I mean, I suspect you're one of these people in our world that is addicted to work, loves work, and will rather be carried out from the office than in a box. I mean, you know, this is your career, isn't it? You've been around for quite a while. Tell us a little bit, though, about the, and I know you've been asked this many times, about your upbringing of that Croatian Māori descent.
Well, my grandmother's lived across the road from each other, but first of all, I had to be born, and I was born in the front seat of my father's Studebaker car on the way to the hospital. And my joke, of course, with my father is that I was more than likely conceived in the back seat of it. And so one just follows the rhythm of the other. And both grandmothers lived across the road from each other. One spoke fluent Māori, the other spoke fluent English. Sorry, fluent Croatian. Mm-hmm. Neither could speak English. And so it was a rich and rewarding upbringing by two grandmothers, meaning, of course, I was raised in two generations ahead of myself. Mm-hmm. And it was absolutely something that has never left me. Mm. Never left me. From then to kia ora tolls here was just a natural thing. I'm a fluent speaker of reo, and naturally it would be kia ora to tolls rather than good morning, good afternoon, good evening. and it seemed to work all right while I was in the post office in Helensville. Yeah. It was only when I moved into the big city, to the big smoke of Auckland City, into Airedale Street, that it was no longer acceptable. It was outside of what they would call standard expression. And my argument was, you know, hey, it's a salutation indigenous to this country. Whoever feels that they come from here, welcome to use it. It's as much theirs as it is mine.
And it sounds,
but it wasn't.
And it sounds crazy now to think that, though, right? I mean, today, I mean, it's an everyday meaning, word, expression, you know, a welcome. People overseas now know our word, kia ora. So was there any pushback at the time?
Oh, It was okay for quite some years. It was only when a new supervisor came into the toll rooms and wanted to clean it up and put everybody exactly in a straight line that the pushbacks came. And in actual fact, of all of us in there, everyone was concerned about their jobs. And I would not concede, because if I'd have lost my job, I would have also been evicted from the post office house that I was staying in. But well, I would have gone home to my marae in the Kaiparai and lived on oysters and flounders. Yes. Such punishment.
Well, with such punishment, so I'm sure we could have taken you into Matakana Island. But anyway, that's a whole other story. Hey, I mean, I want to go back a little bit further in terms of your time as a ward of the state. I mean, given the mahi that both you and I are doing at the moment, which is really, you know, it's both eye-opening, sad, but also a privilege as well, working with our tamariki and our whānau. For you, the experience so long ago, not so long ago, but your experience must have been pretty tough.
Well, and now I look back and think, well, maybe that's why I needed to have that experience. My cousin and I were walking from her home to my grandmother's, and I wanted for nothing, wanted for nothing from these grandmothers. And walking past the tank stand, she took a liking to a pair of shoes that was on there. And I was a size 12 and she was a size 18. And so the shoes fit her, and so did the jeans on the line fit her. No way would it have fit me. But they knew her and didn't know me. And so by the time we got to grandmother's house, the police were standing there. And she said to me, "Oh, can you please say that you took them? Because you wouldn't get a hiding from Mama, but I'm going to get a hell of a hiding from my mother." And so I said, "Oh, yeah, all right then." So when we got to the police questioned, and he held the jeans up in front of me, and, "Are you sure you took these?" "Yes, I did. Yes, I did, sir," so that my cousin wouldn't get a hiding. And neither of us had done anything wrong, committed any crimes or anything before that happening. And I ended up in a court in Pukekohe, and my grandmother came with me, and from that court, from the court itself, no warning, no nothing, two Pākehā ladies led me to a car, and I was made a ward of the state right at that time. And they drove off, leaving my grandmother standing on the road, watching these two Pākehā women driving off with her precious mokopuna.
Oh my God!
And that was and that happened for 4 years, and I actually was placed in 10 different homes in that 4 years.
Ten different homes.
Yeah. And never got to know anyone at all. I attended Takapuna Grammar, and then I was taken from Takapuna Grammar to Northcote College in these different homes that I was placed in. And I remember distinctly one of the homes in Takapuna, that his wife, he had a wife and two children, and the wife worked in Auckland, and the shops didn't close on a Friday till 9 o'clock, and the children were in bed, and I went into the bathroom to have a bath. It was bathtubs those days, and I wrapped the towel around me and came out the door of the bathroom, and he was standing right outside the bathroom door. And I can say that the strength that I exercised and pushed him out of the way into my room and slammed the door shut was an experience I wouldn't wish on anyone. I was a 12-year-old at that time.
I guess that's the
and
strength.
Believe it or not, innocent.
Yeah, but I guess that also paints a picture of the strength within you. I mean, even to this day. I mean, you very much have that characteristic of resilience, of pushing back, no matter what the situation is. And that's certainly my experience of you, which is a positive one, by the way, not a negative one. Stepping forward to today, well, not so much today, but maybe the last few years, you went from working with New Zealand Post, and then all of a sudden you're doing Māori cultural advisory work, predominantly in the health sector. And that's a whole burgeoning world. I mean, that's a big difference between working at the post office and now entering into advising other agencies and government departments about actually what's culturally appropriate and what's not.
Yeah. Well, before that, after the post office, there was a real Māori program happening called Te Ātakura.
Mm.
And as a fluent speaker, 40 of us were chosen from around the country and from the Education Department, and we were actually taken into Auckland College of Education was where we went to, 20 of us went to, so that we could be taught how to teach our reo.
Mm.
And we came out of there qualified teachers with teacher training certificates, and I was placed in Henderson. With the Henderson High School, with the then Ian Mitchell as the principal. And at that time, I asked Ian, well, I've just come out of training college, new broom, sweep and clean. Can I have about 12 students so that I'm not a babysitter? Mm. I'm actually able to sit and be a teacher, but they must volunteer. Well, anyway, the class opened up with 37 in the class.
Wow.
That all volunteered, and some of them were the highest truants in the school that came to school to smoke their fags behind the Bunsen burners and behind the bike sheds. And anyway, we formed our class, and our class was known as Te Rito o Te Reo. And one of the things about that class was I refused to allow anyone in my class to be examined in terms of their will by strangers who didn't know them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the exams that we developed was they would karanga their parents and their whānau and some of the classes and teachers. They would karanga them into the marae at Henderson High. They would mihi to them. And we actually did a play, More Mo Nui. And we did that play all in Māori. Those was their exams. And then they had to manaaki them in the wharekai as well. And they all passed 100%, flying colours.
Wow.
Everyone in the class. And reo was their class. It was an amazing. But while I was there, these two aunties of mine, Auntie Ruby Gray was the then chair of Te Runanga o Ngāti Whātua,
mm.
a position that I hold today.
Mm.
And Auntie Ani Pihema, both of them came to the school and said to me, Ngāti Whātua have been given a position as of right in the then Area Health Board, and we would like you, now that you've established this class, anyone can walk in and take it over. You are to come and work in health and fill this position.
Mm.
And it wasn't well known that that position was actually a mandated iwi position, which meant that I would be, it was then termed bicultural manager,
mm.
to advise non-Māori, and in particular the teachers there, non-Māori about the tika of Ngāti Whātua, and I answered to Ngāti Whātua, not actually to the CEOs.
Mm.
And so that's the position I still hold today, 31 years later.
Oh, you'll be eligible for long service leave soon, eh?
Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
Hey, I hope I
live long enough to qualify for it.
I reckon you're going to go right through. You're going to last the distance. You're like a Melbourne Cup winner. Hey, let's have a talk about just the final part now, which is where you are today. I mean, you're a staunch advocate. You remain a staunch advocate of all things Te Ao Māori. Right through to the protest, if you like, the occupation at Matahari Hari Pā, there in Parnell, and also the message you send to our whānau, particularly our whānau who, involved in Oranga Tamariki or whatever it might be. What is it, if I was to ask you, what is the core thing that drives Nada Glavish? What would it be?
Well, I was raised by these grandmothers, and one of the many things that they've taught me, one of them was, and I'll say it in real, then I'll translate it. Ina kite koe te tahi mea he, hakatikangia. Ina kore, ka rite koe, ki taua he. When you see something wrong being done in front of you, you are duty bound to correct it, because if you do not, then you will become like it. And that is her teaching to me all my life. And hence the kia ora tolls here. It was the correct thing to do. And with regards to Matahare-hare, where I am today, it is a protect. It's not a protest. It's a protect of a near on 200-year-old Pahutu Kawa tree. And it's not that I'm opposed to having a national Erebus memorial. I am opposed to having to cut the roots of a 200-year-old Pahutu Kawa tree in order for that memorial to go up in an area that had nothing whatsoever to do with the Erebus. None whatsoever. And the thing is, if one goes to Matahare-hare Taurarua Park, now known as Sir Dubmyer Robinson, and wrap your arms around that tree, you are actually touching an entity that was a living entity before the signing of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. Now, why would a crown agency with the name Ministry of Culture and Heritage do damage to our heritage to stand a memorial that's got nothing to do with up there?
Yeah, I mean, it's
an issue of principle. It is an issue of principle, and if we don't protect, the name of that tree is actually Teha. If we don't protect the Teha Pohutu Kawa, who will? Who actually will? And it is a principle of protecting the ancestry that was left for us to enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely.
What sort of a legacy would we leave? What sort of a legacy? And the thing about that as well, I'm on a long-serving member of the Pōheringa Taonga Heritage Council. And this process to put this memorial here on Matahare-hare was declared non-notifiable. So I, on that, on Pōheringa Taonga, didn't have a say as to whether or not there's going to be any objections, and of course there would have been objections. So that's where I am today, and that's where I will stay, and ensure that the protection of a 200-year-old Pahutu Kawa tree is in actual fact cared for by this generation of us. And there is no doubt that the residents of Parnell also feel the same.
No, absolutely. Now, whānau, if you're tuning in, this, you can take so many nuggets of advice and also inspiration from Dame Nada Glavish. I mean, but one of these standouts for me, and one thing I'd like all of our whānau to remember as they tune in, as they listen to this this little story, is that you are duty-bound when you see something wrong. It's your duty to stand up and correct it. It's your duty to stand up and push back. It's your duty to stand up, just as we do when it comes to racism, when it comes to you know, hoo-ha that goes on out there, or whatever the case might be. If it's one piece of advice I ask all of you to take, it is take that principled stand. Dame Nada Glavish, it's always a pleasure. You know, you're not only a great inspiration to me personally and a mentor, you're a great mate. Can I call you a great mate?
Yes, you can certainly call me a great mate. And just one more word of wisdom from Albert Einstein, whom I claim comes from the shores of the Kaipara Harbour.
Oh, yeah.
his favourite saying that I love, that no problem will ever be solved in the same consciousness that created it. And so therefore, the consciousness that created the desire to put that Erebus Memorial up there at Matahare-hare, the consciousness has to be shifted.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, then we will become like it.
Hey, Dame Nada Glebish, thank you so much for joining me tonight on Iwi Māori Radio. Really appreciate it and look forward to seeing you soon.
It was my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for the privilege and thank you for the honour.
Kia ora. Kia ora.